But I thank you for allowing me to present in his stead. He's actually in Amsterdam today. And in the next 15 or 20 minutes that we have together, I hope that we'll cover each one of these. For those of you who are not very familiar with this, we'll talk a little bit about the Public Health Informatics Institute, where Dr. Hinman and I work, and answer that question about why is it that we need to be thinking about integrating public health information systems. I'll share a little bit with you about the Connections Community of Practice, which is a group that has been working on integration efforts in the United States for a long time and which I have the pleasure of serving as a facilitator. And we'll talk a little bit about the current status of integration in the United States. So the Institute's mission is here. You can read that. Our basic premise is that if we can learn to share information with public health and in healthcare in some instances, that we have the possibility of improving the population health and the healthcare outcomes, and improving the population, improving public health in general. So we have a couple of operating assumptions that Alan and I thought warrant talking about, and much of it really reiterates what you just shared, Sean, about how we approach our work at the Institute. So the first thing is something that may be a little bit provocative, and I know when I first came to public health about 15 years ago, I heard this saying, and I heard it repeated again when I began working with the Institute about 5 years ago, and that's the saying that if you've seen one health department, you've seen one health department. Have you all heard that? Not lots of nodding heads. So, you know, maybe we're mythbusters, because at the Institute, what we've found when we've been working with public health agencies, local and state, to develop information systems, that actually they have a lot more in common than what they actually believe. And much of what we do, we find that when we're talking about the work of public health, about somewhere between 80 and 85% of what health departments do is very similar from location to location. So when we're building an information system, we can build an information system that maybe you might have to customize 15 or 20% of that to meet the needs of a specific health department. But in general, we actually have a lot in common. And so at the Institute, we seek to build on that commonality. This many heads makes better product speaks again to the effort of collaboration. So when we think about the work that we do in public health, it's very rare that it's just the public health system trying to accomplish something. Typically, we're working with first responders, we're working with school systems sometimes, social service systems, hospitals, laboratories, all of those folks need information. So we have a very strong commitment to working collaboratively with our partners in public health, but also encouraging that collaboration among public health agencies with their community partners in order that they need to do in order to achieve their mission. The other thing is this, we understand that there is this need, a different levels of need for information. So we sort of take a bottoms-up approach most of the time. Our thinking behind that is if we can develop information systems that meet the needs of the local public health departments, the states and the feds usually require less information than local public health departments, so we can get alignment between all of those systems. And the last one about information systems need to support programs. This seems so obvious, and it's so, like, just has face validity. But we often end up with information systems that programs actually have to morph in some way in order to meet the information system needs, rather than building an information system that meets the programmatic needs. So those are a couple of things about sort of our operating assumptions and our philosophy and the way we work at the Institute. So when we think about answering this question, why do we need to be thinking about integration in public health, integrating our information systems? Just think with me for a minute about if I decided to leave the conference this afternoon and take a plane ride, let's say, to Hong Kong. I could probably leave this room, go find a computer somewhere, purchase a ticket, make my reservation for tomorrow. I could get on the plane, I can go out to Hong Kong, and when I get there, I'm going to need some money because I promise you I would go shopping. I could take my ATM, go to a bank, stick it in a little machine and get the currency for the country that I'm in. I can use a search engine like Google, which I have easy access to, probably in the hotel, to find out what places to shop. And then I can send my very precious purchases home and track them by FedEx all the way home. So my point being that we live in the information society. It is an expectation of the public that we have access to information that's very utilitarian and serves our needs. So the sort of broad overreaching reason why we need to be thinking about integrating information systems in public health is because we need to be more aware of what information is needed to meet our mission and how to get it in the hands of the people who use that information on a daily basis in real time, not retrospectively and not analyzing data and providing it to them. But we need to do those things in order to be relevant, not just to serve people, but really to be relevant as public health practitioners. So when we think about our current information systems, again, I feel like I'm repeating our first presenter's comments. Typically, they're developed for specific programs, and they are designed to meet programmatic needs. They're typically encounter-based, so we have information about people who interact with our public health services, not always population-based. And generally, the information that's in those databases can't be shared with other systems in the health department, much less with people external to the health department, like those hospitals, laboratories, pediatricians, all of the folks that would want to use public health information if it were readily available to them. So a little bit about the Connections Community of Practice. We actually have some folks in the room that are very familiar with this group. I haven't been refuted yet. I've said this publicly, and if someone wants to refute it, you can raise your hand and tell me so. But I believe that the Connections Community of Practice actually grew out of one of the very first broad-scale public health informatics projects in the United States. And that was the All Kids Count program that was funded by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to build immunization registries. Does anyone refute that, that it was one of the first public health informatics projects in the United States? Okay, then I will continue to say that. So the Connections Community of Practice is probably one of the older, formally recognized communities of practice in public health. It started in June of 2001 and really grew out of this recognition that there was a need to integrate information systems. At the end of about 10 years of development of immunization registries, the folks that had been involved in those projects began to think about what other kinds of information would be really utilitarian to specifically physicians and other people that serve health population health needs that could be integrated with these immunization registries. And they identified a couple of early childhood programs, including newborn dried blood spot screening, newborn hearing, and vital records. And the vital records were really important because that was how they were going to be able to create a consolidated record. So their thinking was really focused on how are we going to improve the services that we can provide. So a couple of things that would maybe illustrate this would be that there was a recent NIS survey that noted that about 25% of two-year-olds in the United States still are not up to date on their immunizations. And there's several studies have found that low immunization coverage rates are correlated with both missed screenings for lead and anemia. So we can see that all of these things are related, and that when we are able to identify children that are at risk for not receiving mandated services or services that they may need, we could do a better job of improving population health and of actually, again, meeting our mission. The other rationale was many of these program areas focus on the same population. So a lot of the things that Connections was looking at specifically in integrating their child health information systems had to do with these services are offered at the time of birth. The information from those services is very valuable to people outside of public health, including parents and families and pediatricians. So that became the goal of integrating information systems. It wasn't to build these really fancy information systems. It was to be able to push this information out to people in real time who were going to be able to use it. So I mentioned a minute ago a consolidated record. What we mean by that is that it is a person-centric record. Most of our information systems in public health is organized by program. With the introduction of being able to integrate these systems, vital records becomes the piece where you can identify the individual person, and though that system electronically is integrated with these other kinds of services that I mentioned, newborn hearing, newborn dried blood spot screening, or immunization registries, and they've expanded to include things like WIC or early childhood information systems. So when we talk about the consolidated record, what we're talking about is that if a child shows up in a clinician's office, that clinician, an ARNP, a pediatrician, an audiologist, would be able to access information that they are authorized to receive by their role at the point of care in their office about that individual child. So I want to talk now a little bit about how common are these integrated systems. So in 2003, the Institute conducted an assessment looking at what was happening with integrated information systems. And at that time, we were able to identify 12 states that had projects, active integration projects. And we wanted to update that assessment. So in 2008, we developed an online survey, and it was distributed to 59 individuals in the country that were identified to us by our partners in this project with AMCHIP, the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs. And the 59 were the identified either Title V directors or MCH contacts for AMCHIP. And we were very pleased with the response rate, had 41 folks return those, and ended up using 39 of those responses. You can see here our notes that we dropped one because it was a U.S. territory. The 59 included the 50 states, District of Columbia, and 8 territories. And we only had one response back from territories, so we decided to limit it to states. And then we had one survey that we weren't able to validate the information. So we had a whole list, a whole range of objectives about this, but I'm just going to briefly mention talk about three of them. The first thing that we did was struggle with defining what does integration mean. And we finally settled on this definition for sharing with the folks, but we also included some information about linked records. If you look back in the MCH literature from about 10 years ago, reports and documents, they'll talk about linking data from child health information services. And linking has come to mean something slightly different. It's come to mean really linking data sets in order to be able to create reports or to do retrospective analysis. So in addition to this survey, in addition to this definition, we had a note that linked records are not necessarily consolidated into one record. And that was the definition that we ended up using. We didn't have any questions about it, so we assumed that people understood what we were talking about. So here's the picture at the high level. We had 18 states that already had integrated information systems at the time the survey was done. Most of them probably were integrating vital records with at least one other program area. We have as many as 13 program areas, I believe, in Utah. So there's a wide range of how many programs were integrated. There were 3 places in the United States that were planning on integrating in the next year, and 10 that were planning on integrating in the next 3 years. So that gives you a feel for how widespread it is. One of the things that surprised us a little bit was that EDI was actually the program area that was most frequently cited as being integrated. And the reason that surprised us is because we thought, given the maturity of immunization registries, that that would be number one. But one of the things we found out that has relevance later on in the talk was that EDI has been encouraging their, in their CDC grants, they've been encouraging states to integrate their hearing programs. So it, and it showed up in the data that they're a little bit further along actually than immunization registries, which have been around since the early 90s. And these integrated systems really didn't get started until the late 90s and the early 2000s. So we also asked about what were the factors that influenced public health departments to consider integrating their information systems, and some examples of the laws that helped and hindered them to do it. So I don't have a slide. I actually took the slide out, and I wish I had left it in. But we expected that health departments might have elected to integrate their information systems because they had some dollars, some money to do so, and so they were sort of thinking about it. But actually, the first five or six responses all had to do with improving program function. And then when we got to the what was happening with laws and efforts, how difficult it is to do this, immunization registry laws turned out to be very helpful. This EOHSS is Environmental Occupational Health and Safety Services, and all the things around newborn hearing, the universal newborn hearing and universal newborn screening, all of those kind of pieces of legislation were helpful. Things that hindered it. Now, HIPAA is on this list, and I will tell you that just in our experience, people cite HIPAA as being an issue with integrating information systems, but there are many places in the United States that are sharing information electronically, and HIPAA doesn't actually prohibit them from doing so. FERPA, on the other hand, which is the education legislation that's similar to HIPAA, really does seem to be a barrier. And there's quite a bit of work that's being done at the national level congressionally to try and align FERPA and HIPAA. The other things that came up often were USDA is the Department of Agriculture. They have very different requirements around sharing information, and laws that specifically identify who can see the data. In some places, those are laws, very stringent laws around genetics. So I brought with us a couple of tools. These are some things that the Connections Group has worked on that will help in communicating and being able to do integration projects in your own area. So the first one is this unique records portfolio, which I'll have after the talk, and if you're interested in seeing that, you can. It's a whole book on the different kinds of architectures that people are using for their integration projects, and talks about the most difficult thing about integrating these systems from a technical standpoint is often around matching records. So this book talks about matching records. And I'm going to make a plug for my colleague there, Karen. Say hi. Karen is doing a presentation tomorrow on the business case model. And the business case model is a very powerful Excel-based tool that can do a cost-benefit analysis of integration projects that can be customized by state. And Karen will be doing a little bit of a demonstration on that and talking about it tomorrow. This was actually the tool that we developed for being able to advocate for integrating information systems with public health leaders and with program managers and those sort of folks. So I just wanted to mention that very quickly. So all of the lessons learned are things that could have been directly lifted from that first talk about engaging stakeholders from the beginning, the complexity of establishing population-based information systems. In public health, money usually comes in little dribs and drabs, and I was privy to a conversation one day with our director, Dave Ross, talking to a federal funder, and the federal funder said, I don't understand why we're not further along on this. We've been at this for 10 years, and Dave's response was, if you did this in a hospital, it would be a $55 million project, and it would be done in 18 months. But you've been giving $75,000 a year to states for 10 years. That's, you know, it's very expensive to do this kind of work, and it's very complex to do this kind of work. And I think you're the first speaker really addressed all of the issues of complexity. I talked about the need for developing the business case and our tool that can help people do that. And the last point is about the need for really having a vision for what it is that we want to do understanding that we're not going to be able to do it all at once. So this plan boldly but build incrementally speaks to having a plan and being able to be opportunistic when something comes along that will support what you're trying to do with these integrated information systems. I think they're going to become even more important as we begin exchanging information with health information exchanges, because that ability to produce the consolidated record is going to be very important in that situation. So the technology exists to achieve this vision. I think it's up to the leaders and the managers to really actualize it and bringing to bear all of those skills to get people to work together. Again, mentioned in our first presentation, in Connections, they've coined a term, or I think it was coined in Connections, it's Turgo, which is a combination of the words turf and ego. Huge issue in developing information systems. And the second word that they refer to is turgonertia, is when you really can't get anything done from the combination of turf and ego and inertia. So that takes all of the leadership and management skills to be able to address those things and build effective governance structures and get all of the stakeholders engaged and do all of that kind of work that's far beyond the technology. So I thank you very much. Any questions?